This morning we are going to continue our series on Reimagine, and we've talked a lot about what that means, and I started off the series by giving you the definition. The definition to reimagine is to imagine again or imagine anew, in a new or different form, a new conception. How many of you know that God wants to give birth to new things? That he puts things in us, listen, that he wants to birth through us. And so some of you, you have conceived dreams. Listen, you've conceived ideas. You've conceived things inside of you that God wants to release through your life. And so my definition of reimagine is to recreate or form a new idea, approach, or method around an existing idea, approach, or method through the power of the Holy Spirit. How many know we need the Holy Spirit to breathe, come on our church again. Not just our church, but all churches. And our foundational passage has been 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and says that is what the scriptures mean when they say no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I love verse 10 because it says, but. Everybody say, but. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything, everyone say everything, and shows us God's deep secrets. How many like secrets? How many know God wants to let us in on a few things that maybe we can't see now or we don't hear now, but he wants to reveal those secrets to us. Listen, so we can be a witness and more effective witness in this world. Isaiah 48, 6 says this, you have heard, now see all this, and will you not declare it? From this time forth, I announce to you new things. Everyone say new things. Hidden things that you have not known. I believe as we head into 2019 as a church, I'm asking us to stay hungry for the hidden things, to not just settle for what we see, come on somebody, for not just settle for what we understand or what we know, but we will dare to ask, we will dare and ask God to reveal us things that we do not see, that we have not heard, that we have not experienced together. Why is that important in 2019? We must continue to pursue the things we have not known, because once you think you know it all, how many know you stop learning? And once you stop learning, you stop growing. And once you stop growing as a follower of Christ, how many know you stop growing as a leader? You stop growing as a church, and you stop growing as a ministry, or maybe you're in business. Your business stops growing, and what happens is we begin to decline into ineffectiveness. How many know God has way more for us than to just be ineffective? He has way more for us than just taking up space or taking a seat on a Sunday. You see, as we prepare ourselves for the new year, it's going to be important that we apply the principles that we've been speaking over you for the many weeks we've been in this series on reimagining, so that we flourish in the new year and we don't flounder in the new year. How many want to see your marriage flourish in 2019? How many want to see your family flourish in 2019? Maybe personally, you just want to flourish. Come on, you're tired of floundering. You're tired of walking around the mountain. You're tired of the same old, same old. Listen, God wants to reveal to you secrets, not only for your life, but in the life of this church. And that's why we've addressed specific areas where I believe the church, not just real life church, but the church, the body of Christ, the worldwide body of Christ, can be challenged, but specifically our church cannot afford to ignore if we're going to become all that God has promised us to become. And over the last several weeks, and I'm just going to mention some of the things that we've challenged you with, we've challenged ourselves to reimagine our reach, that we could actually be that church, listen, that reaches its community, that we could actually be that church, listen, that reaches our campuses, and we are. And we could actually be the church that influences the culture. And God is Listen, God is raising up. I can't wait till December 31st. You're going to hear testimonies of who God is raising up in this house to influence culture. It's absolutely amazing. The things that God, the person that you're sitting by, you may not know it, but they're the next entrepreneur. Come on. They're the next person to make it big. Why? Not just for making it big sake, but being an influence for Christ wherever he's placed them. I ask you to reimagine God's love, and we've seen what God is doing through Love Natomas. We just had our follow-up meeting again. The same churches came out, and we're planning to do a big day of service here in Natomas in May, May 4th. We're going to serve our community, not just the church. We're going to facilitate it as the church, but we're going to be working side by side with people in our community who would never darken the doorways of our churches. Why? Because we want to release God's unlimited love. Pastor Damien challenged us to reimagine prayer. And this is the understanding that reimagination doesn't begin with a good idea. It begins on our knees. And that's why prayer always has to be a part of our DNA. I don't care if 10 people come out on a Wednesday night. I don't care if 100 people come out on a Wednesday night. What I care about most is that we're praying, that we're interceding, that we're asking God, God, what do you see? God, what do you, I don't want you to bless what I'm doing. I want to do what you're blessing. And that needs to be the position of our church. I ask you to reimagine our praise. I believe we're in a season, not just us, I believe the body of Christ. We're so good at worship. We're so good at intimacy. Come on. We love to get our worship on. Come on. We love to close our eyes and get in the glory. But come on, some of us, we need to praise him. Come on, we need to shake off heavy bands. Come on, we need to shake off yesterday. We need to shake off last year. You need to shake off that divorce. You need to shake that thing that's been limiting you for so long. You've got to say, God, now will I praise you. We've seen God do some amazing things by just saying, what would happen if we reimagine the holidays? What would happen? You know, I just don't want to be a hearer of the Christmas message. I actually want to be a church that does the Christmas message. One of the things that we're doing is we're handing out these cards, and I had one, but it might have fell out. There's a reimagined holiday card. Is that in? Does anyone got one? Because I want to read it. You've got one? I've got to read it. So we made these cards last year, and people took them, and what it says is, it says, we want to help you reimagine the holidays with a simple act of kindness to express God's love to you today. Merry Christmas, Real Life Church. And on the back, it simply has a map and the time of our service. This is a great way, listen, to sow a seed and help people reimagine their holiday. I've told you about the time where I was on the corner. It was a hot summer day, and I was handing out ice-cold Pepsis on the intersection, and a lady rolled down her window. She took the card, and she flew it up on her dashboard. 3 months later, she ended up in our church. She said, I was in a desperate situation going through the ugliest divorce you could ever imagine. And she said, I looked up and I seen your card on my dashboard. And it said, we just want to help you. Come on. Reimagine God's love. Come on. And she showed up to church that day and gave her heart to Jesus Christ. What are we doing? Listen, we're sowing seeds into the community. Last year, one of you out there, I don't know who it was, but you got 10 of these cards and you went and bought 10 Starbucks cards, and you went and put it on all of your co-workers' cars, so when they came out to work, they had a Starbucks card and a little thing that said, we just want to help you reimagine the holidays. I've done things like donut drive-bys. This freaks people out when you're nice to them. I'm just telling you. At Krispy Kreme Donuts, you could get those like little half boxes of donuts, a half a dozen, right? You get a half a dozen of donuts, put this on a Scotch tape, pull up. They'll say, may I have your order? Just say, I don't want to order anything. I just want to bless you today. You roll up, they open the window, you just slide it across. They'll look. I'm telling you, the first time I did it, the lady in the window, she got tears in her eyes. Looked like she had a long night. I don't know what happened. She had tears in her eyes. She said, thank you. You're going to bless our crew today. Whatever you do, listen, take on the way out. We've only got first service, took almost all of them. But listen, on your way out, pick up one of these and listen, just do something kind. Maybe it's for the police officers behind you. Maybe it's for somebody you're going to buy their coffee at Starbucks. Whatever it is, do something nice for somebody. I'm going to give you a warning. Now, if you go to a restaurant, and you leave this for a tip. Make sure it's a fat tip, all right? I don't need to be I don't need you getting phone calls. You know, those people in real life, they're real tight. You know, But we've asked you to reimagine evangelism, God's people sharing the good news in good ways that leads people to trust in a good God. I ask you to reimagine discipleship, a call that will make us drop our nets again to become good followers. Is there a call? Listen, is there something that will arrest us so much so that we're willing to leave everything, forsake everything, and just say, God, I want to pursue my calling. Nothing's going to hold me back anymore. Lord, I'm going to follow you in 2019. And then Pastor Jesse challenged us to reimagine leadership, that kingdom leaders would be raised up in this house who see the unseen potential in others and that they do hard things. How many of you ready for some hard things in 2019? Listen, we've got some mountains to move in 2019, and they understand that their purpose is to spread the gospel. It leads me to today's message, reimagine ministry. Reimagine ministry. Why reimagine ministry, you might be asking? Let me just say this, and this pretty much applies to every church across the board, but I'm talking to us as a family. Is that all right? Less than 20% of our church is actively engaged in serving the body. What does that mean? And I'm being favorable saying 20%. That means 20% of the people, listen, are doing 80% of the work. How many know God wants to flip that around in 2019? And I'm so excited because we're seeing glimpses. Last year at the event at Thanksgiving, we had 70 people at that event. This year, we did it bigger and better, and we had over 130 people activated saying, Pastor Dean, I'm in. I'm baking a casserole. I'm helping set up tables. I'm going to table sponsor a table. God is stirring us. Why? Because he wants us to be obedient to the word that we're going from audience to what? To a body. Let me ask you this. What would happen if only 20% of your natural body was functioning? How many know we'd be sick, right? They'd be like, that's a sick church, and I don't mean sick. I mean sick, right? In 2019, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to really help us here. Listen, we have to shift. Listen, we have to shift from this consumer-based model, listen, that is plaguing America churches all across the world. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us because how many know it's impossible as a born-again believer to grow into maturity without engaging and serving in ministry? Do you guys hear what I'm saying? It's hard to become all God has you to be when it's just you all by yourself. Some of you are waiting. Listen, you're waiting for everything to be perfect so you can involve. But here's the thing. Get involved and everything will be perfected. Some of you are waiting for everything to just be lined up. But listen, God will line it up when you get aligned. When you submit yourself to the Lord and you just say yes to him, how many know things begin to fall into place? See, as your pastor, my ministry is to equip you for the ministry, not do the ministry for you. That's why so many people say, well, when are you speaking, Pastor Dean? When are you speaking? Listen, God has given me a great team. He's given us, and I've told you, great gifts packaged in pastors. Come on, prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers. And how many know I have a responsibility as a pastor to release those gifts to you? Why? Because the Bible says if they're not, we're never going to attain the maturity that he has for us all. And so God wants to release those gifts, not only in our staff, but in you as well, so that we can reach our full potential as a church. Earlier this year, we were in Dallas, and Bishop Tony Miller, who will be here for our Edify conference in January, we have Ron Carpenter, Tony Miller, Sean Smith, Pastor Tamara Bennett coming here at Real Life in the new year to just speak and build us up. That's really the word of the Lord that God has given me for 2019 is build up people, build up leaders, build up your infrastructure, build up your processes, build up your system. Because how many know we're going to need a highway for what God is bringing us? But earlier in the year, Bishop Miller prophesied over Amy and I that the harvest was going to be too big for us to do it alone. How many of you know that's been a problem for centuries? Basically, Jesus told us there was always going to be more to harvest than there were hands to handle it. Amen? In other words, there's always going to be more work to do than workers to do it. So what did Jesus tell us to do? Matthew chapter 9. What did he tell us to do about a shortage of workers? He said, therefore, pray to the Lord of the what? Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send. That word means to thrust out workers into the harvest field. Did you know Jesus will answer that prayer every time? Why? Because when you pray that prayer, you can't pray it without being the answer to that prayer. You guys hear what I'm saying? You can't pray, Lord, send out laborers into the harvest without being an answer to that prayer. That's one prayer that doesn't have to go on the Reimagine prayer board. Because when you pray it, God says what? What about you? He says, what are you doing? What are you doing to serve? What are you doing in the harvest? What are you doing? Right? And we become the answer to that prayer. There are two phases that I've been praying for Real Life Church and believing God as we go into the new year. I'm praying for the first phase of 35 kingdom leaders who want to build the leadership infrastructure of this church. 35. I made a list of every area just on Sundays. I'm just saying, talking about on Sundays, that we need to go in order for our church to go to the next level in 2019. 35, come on, places for leaders to say yes to. The second thing I've been praying for is the second 35 leaders for the second service. Come on. How many know Jesus had 72? I can do 70. If Jesus can do 72, I can do 70. Listen, 70 leaders who will put us in a position to multiply the ministry at Real Life Church. Right now, you might not know it, but we are ready to go to move to a third service. But here's the key. Here's the problem. We don't have the leaders in place to do it. How many know that's ministry suicide? Listen, if we can't keep up with what God wants to bring us now, how are we going to add anything to that? But with 70 leaders, we can multiply and see God do above and beyond what we're experiencing right now. We don't have the leaders right now, but here's the good news. We have all the people we need sitting in these seats. And how many know we can help you find your place? Listen, I just sat and made 35 places, and Michael Gaines said, Michael, are you here? Raise your hand. Michael is going to, in the new year, for people that are just tired of sitting on the bench, maybe you're just wondering, hey, where's my spot? Where's my place here at Real Life Church? Michael is going to help you find your sweet spot. That's what we're calling the assessment, finding your sweet spot in the new year. We need leaders to find their sweet spot. Why? Because God wants to do so much more than we're experiencing now. Listen, I'm not going to dare to multiply or dare to add a service. Why? Because you cannot multiply ministry from a place of weakness because you just get more weakness. You can't multiply ministry from a place of chaos or you just get more what? Confusion. You can't multiply an unhealthy ministry. Why? It just gets more unhealthy. But we're in a healthy place. We are ready. Listen, we are ready to multiply. We just need leaders to do it. How many know it's got to go beyond the staff? I told our staff this week, it has to go beyond us. It has to go beyond this table, this staff meeting, if we're going to see ministry multiplied in our community, our region, and beyond. The third thing that God told Amy and I earlier this year is that he's getting ready to do something in this region that has never been seen before, and he was going to use this church to do it. I'm radical enough to believe that. Listen, the makeup of multicultural churches in the USA is 13%. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a 13%er. You're a 13%er. Listen, We are a unique, we have unique DNA. We are of a unique, how many know we're one nation though, amen? We're one nation in Christ, but we, as a church, we are unique, and God is going to give us a unique voice. I believe God is going to release some music, and I'm not just talking about worship. We've got artists in our midst that are going to release the voice, come on, of this house in greater ways. But God told Amy and I that he's going to do something in this church that we've never seen before, and he was going to bring us people, specifically the prophetic word was he was going to bring misfits. Any misfits out there besides me, right? He was going to bring misfits to get it done. What's a misfit? A misfit is a non-conformist, a person whose behavior or views do not conform to prevailing ideas or practices. How do you know we need some misfits in our midst to give us some new ideas? Come on. You see, some of us are about to get our feathers ruffled because of the misfits God is going to bring to us. How do I know that? Because throughout history, and you can look as late as the Jesus movement, it happened in the Jesus movement, it's going to happen again. Come on, people weren't ready for the hippies to walk barefooted down the aisle. They weren't ready for the hippies to come and sit down in Indian style in the front and just lift their hands and worship and walk in with long hair and walk in with beards and all those different. They weren't ready for that. But how do you know we need to be ready for whatever God brings us? You see, we have to reimagine ministry in such a way that it's not just for the polished professional, it's for the anointed amateur. You see, ministry, and this is in your notes here, ministry doesn't begin with a commitment. And this is what I want you to hear today. It begins with a calling. It begins with God calling us. You see, when our commitment precedes our calling, there is nothing fueling that commitment. It's all done in our own strength. It's all done on what we think we should be doing. If you don't go through an assessment like Michael's creating, if you don't go through that kind of process and you're not sure, you just end up committing to something, and then that pretty soon we're like, well, where did so-and-so go? We don't know. They made a commitment. But how do you know if God calls you to something, you're more likely to follow through with it? You see, when our calling precedes our commitment, our calling, everybody say calling. Our calling is what fuels what we committed to. You will never stay satisfied. This is in your notes. You will never stay committed to something that you were convinced to do by someone else, but you'll always stick with something that you know God called you to do. You see, many believers are burning out instead of burning bright because we've settled for checking boxes on commitment cards instead of seeing it as a call of God into something bigger than ourselves. Listen, I didn't come to you 18 months ago on my own commitment. I didn't come to you, listen, 18 months ago in my own strength, with my own good ideas. No, I came to you because God called me. There were so many things, listen, there were so many things that had to happen to bring Amy and I here. Listen, that when God called, we said yes to him. One of the reasons why I knew God was saying yes, because I said, Amy, what do you think about this opportunity? She says, we're going to do it. Now, if you know Amy, Amy doesn't like change. Anybody like that? Amy doesn't like change. So when she said, God's calling us to it, I said, hallelujah. But listen, I didn't come here in my own strength. And that's why God is doing what he's doing. Look around you. There's so many new people here. God is bringing, listen, God has built this house. He's taken us from a church since I got here from under 500 to last week over 700. Come on, God is building something supernatural. It takes time, sure. I know people are frustrated with Pastor Dean. I know it's not fast enough for you, but I'm just following Jesus. I'm just being led of the Lord. I'm just doing the best I can to hear his voice. Come on, and stay in step with him. And here's the temptation for every leader, not get ahead of him. I told you I had the 10th gift of the Holy Spirit, getting ahead of God, didn't I? But it's so key for us. Listen, this is not a sermon to get you committed. This is a sermon, listen, for you to hear your call. What's God calling you to? But here's the better question. What's God calling us to? What's he calling us to? Do you hear his voice? Do you know which way to go? He's speaking to us. He doesn't want you to be confused about it any longer. Why? Because we're children of God. And as I said, it says, but to us. Come on. But God has revealed it to us. Amen? It leads me to my first point on your message notes there. God calls us to experience communion with himself. We have five habits here. The first one is to love God, not just to love God, but to love God personally. Not to just love God on Sundays, but to love God every, to experience a relationship with Jesus like you've never. Listen, if you're just experiencing a Sunday relationship with God, I'm just saying you're cheating yourself. You're robbing yourself. God wants to speak to you. Listen, not just once a day at 6 a.m. when you have your prayer time, but throughout the day, God wants to speak to you. He wants you to be attuned to his voice. He wants to show you things. If we'll just take a moment as a church, listen, and we'll just take time and we'll say, God, what do you want to show me today? God, what do you want me to hear today? Things that you're seeing sprout up. Listen, the idea, even that guest services booth there, even the things you see in the lobby, the paint, all those different things are just us. It's not just because, you know, we can put some paint matching together and all those great things. No, it's because we're saying, God, what do you want to do at Real Life? How do you want to position us to get ready for the harvest that you're about to bring us? God calls us to experience communion with himself. Matthew 22, 37, familiar verse. I'm reading the Passion Translation. Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme commandment. The word love is also translated worship. And here's the key. It leads me to the conclusion that our greatest work we do for God in 2019, listen, must flow from our worship of a great God. Can I say that again? The greatest work that we do for God in 2019 must flow from our worship of a great God. So many of us allow our work to rob us of our worship. But we have to understand our worship is what fuels the work. One of the first things I learned about ministry, I was 18 or 19. I was just a youth leader, and I don't know if my youth pastor saw the call of God on my life, but I remember him taking two or three of us aside, and he said, you guys, the temptation, your entire ministry, he said, the temptation is always to do, to do, to do. He said, but I want to tell you right now, just take time to be. Take time to be with Jesus. And he'll open things for you to do. Take time to be with Jesus. Don't let ministry rob you of your peace. Don't let ministry rob you of your purpose. Ministry must come from the overflow of our relationship with God. Let me just ask you a question. You guys like questions? I like probing questions. But what would take place at Real Life Church if we operated from a place of being in the overflow instead of always being overwhelmed? What would happen? A lot of the overwhelm, feeling of being overwhelmed, is because we got 20% of people doing 80% of the work. Can you imagine if we flip that? 80% of the people activated in their gifts and their calling. You ask somebody, what's God called you to do? They got an answer. That'd be amazing. God wants us to operate from an overflow. When I'm in the overflow, nothing can overwhelm me. People will come to me all the time. And it's because a lot of people don't know I'm 48 years old. I know I dress cool, but this is Pastor Damien helping me out. But like, I'm 48 now, you know, and like, I'm getting like bags under my eyes and like wrinkles, and I'm like losing hair where I want it and getting it where I don't want it. You guys know what I'm talking about? Look on my shoulder, I'm like, dang, I can't wear tank tops anymore. You know what I'm saying? but one of the things, and maybe Pastor Jesse could tell, I refuse to get overwhelmed. Because I'm not here on my own commitment. I'm here operating in my calling. Well, Dean, you know, you've done 3 years of change in 18 months. No, I know. But that's God, that's not me. We were at the Feed the Neighborhood event, and man, I'm just telling you guys, we were dialed in. I was so proud of our church. And some of you guys had left, but you hadn't waited to the end. We were down to probably like our last two rows, probably like, I don't know, it was like six tables were left, and we had people, they were patient. Well, if you weren't in the tent, they were having some issues with tickets, and even though we sat them down in order, somehow they weren't in order, and they were so worried about people jumping in line, but we had them in line, and I don't know if you were there, but one guy busted in the tent, and he said, "It's all messed up. They messed it all up." He's all, we're not excusing my table anymore. And what he didn't realize is what these people were being patient. They were being calm. And when he said that, they all panicked. They went, "What?" And they all stood up. And he said, no, I didn't mean get up." And it was too late. It was a madhouse, and it was chaos. And I was like, "Lord, bless him." He was overwhelmed. He wasn't operating from an overflow. He just wasn't. And people will come to me like, things will be, "Pastor, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" It's going to work out. It's all going to work out. Why? Because I'm not operating on my own commitment. I'm operating on the calling. "Pastor Dean, how are we going to feed 500 people? Where are we going to afford $5,000 to buy that tent? Hey, you know what? God, whatever God orders, he pays for. And he did. I make Pastor Jesse real nervous because I go with her with all my big ideas. "Hey, Pastor Jesse, I got this crazy idea. We're going to get a tent." And at the time, I don't even know how much it costs, right? I'm like, I thought they were like $1,200, you know? I'm like, "We can do $1,200. I'm just thinking in my mind, how much could a tent cost, right? And so we get that, you know, we get there, and I'm like calling all around. And like, I can only find one of the, you know, like a tent that feeds like 25 people for like $1,200. I'm like, "Oh no, now I got to go to Pastor Jesse and tell her that the tent costs $5,000. Now, I don't let her know this. But a lot of times, listen, I'll just say, "God, you know what's in my heart to do. You know our church longs to feed those, listen, who are hungry and broken and without. Lord, surely you'd provide for that. Surely this dream couldn't be too big for you. Surely this is not too big. This is not too big for your wallet, God." And what's God do? Every time he meets the need, every time you show up, you say yes to God. You see, when I'm in the overflow, listen, 2019, we're in the overflow. We won't be overwhelmed. We're bringing in these speakers in January. That's something we're going to do every year as a body, because we're going to get the word of the Lord for our church, come on, for our region, and we're going to be built up as leaders. We're going to be encouraged. We're calling it the Edify Conference. This is something that God put in my heart years ago that he's just given birth to now, the Edify Conference. Why? Because you're going to be built up for this next season. You're going to be built up for this next season. And this is why experiencing communion with God is so important. The sharing, and this is in your notes, communion is the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. Here's a word, a prophetic word for the church this morning for 2019. Here it is. The next level of ministry God is calling us to will require us to flow from a place of constant communion, not compartmentalized devotion. Let me just say that again. The next level of ministry that God is calling Real Life Church to will require us to flow from a place of constant communion, not compartmentalized devotion. Why? Because he's going to thrust our church, listen, into the deep end. Come on, that's what leaders do. Listen, we get in the deep end and we just say, "God, you got to bail us out. God, you got to help us out. God, we're not going to be overwhelmed. No, God, we're operating from the overflow." 2 Corinthians 13:14, I love this from the Apostle Paul. He says, "The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing," reading from the Amplified, "of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it." Paul longed for the church, listen, not to just have a compartmentalized devotion, but a communion with him. Mark chapter 6 really reveals this and illustrates that Jesus is getting ready to send his 12 disciples to serve. And look at the order. Look at the divine order that Jesus sets. In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, it says, he called the 12 to himself, and he began to send them out two by two. How many need to multiply? You need the product number of two, right? Two by two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. Thanks, brother. He gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. Listen to the order. He called them, he called the disciples not to a to-do list, not to tasks, but to him. And that's where the first call, listen, before we do any great exploits, before we do anything, listen, we need to spend time in his presence. We need to understand we've got to be in constant communion with Jesus. Then he sent them, and then he gave them, and then he commanded them. You see, the disciples were not overwhelmed by the command to go and do because they had constant communion and continual connection with Jesus, the one who commanded them to go and do. Leads me to my second point, that God calls us to experience community with others. Now, I know we've had great small groups. Pastor Andrew Mason, who is a small group guru, he had this church click in on small groups. And in his transition, some of our small groups, our whole small group things fell through the cracks. But we're going to be relaunching what we're calling the new version of small groups. And they're going to be called connecting points. We're going to do this in February. Why? Because God calls us to experience community with others. Communion with himself and community with others. Matthew 22, verse 39, and the second is like it in importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Contained within these commandments to love, you will find all the meaning of the law and the prophets. The word friend there means one who is close to you. One who is close to you. How many of you want somebody to walk with you through your difficulties? Listen, someone to walk with you to encourage you in your faith. Someone to walk, someone that you can talk to. We all desire that. And God says, you know what? I want you to find a friend and treat them like you want to be treated. Jesus said, I need you to reimagine ministry, listen, in such a way that it flows from your communion with me and your community with others. Have you ever encountered someone who is more focused on their job or task at hand rather than the people in front of them? Anybody besides me? And I'm not just talking about church. I'm just talking about when you're out and about. People who are so focused on their job or the task, they actually ignore the customer, right? The one who's helping pay for their job or task, right? I was recently at a local Starbucks, and I noticed when I walk in that the line was extremely long. Well, usually, you know, Starbucks is pretty fast, but this line just kept getting longer, and I stood in line, and the line went out the door, and I noticed the manager, he had his head down. He wasn't looking up. He was gritting his teeth. He was upset. You could tell he was mad, and he was just barking orders at all the baristas. He was barking at the baristas. He's like, go get that. And all the while everybody's just watching what a great day he's having. As everyone was watching his bad management skills in the long line to get their coffee, I actually noticed around, if you notice in a Starbucks, they have their values all around. And it says things like, with our partners, our coffee, and our customers, at our core, we live these values. Creating a culture of warmth and belonging where everyone is welcome. Acting with courage, challenging the status quo, and finding new ways to grow our company and each other. Being present, connecting with transparency, dignity, and respect. Delivering our very best in all we do, holding ourselves accountable for the results. And then the last one was this: we are performance-driven through the lens of humanity. In church world, at Real Life Church, we need to be careful in 2019 not to get more focused on getting the job done at the cost of treating people the way they expect to be treated. Another way to say that is we need to put ministering to people before ministry performance. You guys hear what I'm saying? You hear your pastor's heartbeat in this? We need to put ministering to people ahead of ministry performance. Listen, that's why sometimes it takes long to do things. Listen, behind everything that we do on a Sunday is a person. Can you believe that? That's why when you get upset about the sound, my ears are hurting too. I know, right? But there's a person doing the best they can back there. Listen, when you're upset because you don't like the guitar, but how do you know? We got a great guitarist back there with a great gift. There's a person behind everything that we do. Children's, all those different things. And we've got to put people. And listen, not just like ignore problems. Like we know there's problems. We're addressing them. These guys in the back, and these guys have been the most patient people with us. They're incredible. They really are. You're lucky they hadn't left the church because we'd be really bad. We'd be really trouble. They do a job each and every week. But listen, we're going to get there. Why? Because listen, I could say, we're going to clean the slate. Wipe them out. And next week, nobody would be here. Why? Because we put performance ahead of people. We got a show. 9 and 11. The show must go on. Isn't that the mentality sometimes? No. The people must be encouraged and strengthened. Listen, must be discipled and mentored. The people, listen, and listen, here's the thing. We've got to be in a place of maturity where we can handle healthy conversations. Listen, I've got people in my life, like even when Ben was here, I took Pastor Ben, sat him down with my staff. We talked about what he was going to talk about to our staff. He changed it all on me. He laid me out on the table. He said, this is how you can help your staff, Pastor Dean. I mean, it was good. It was good. Now my staff is on me. Pastor Dean, we need clarity. We need clarity, you know. Why? It's all good. People before performance. I'm going to go real quick because I want to get you out of here on time. But 94 times in the New Testament, there's one word in the Greek that translates into two words in the English, and it's the word one another. I'm going to just put these up on the screen so you can see them. But one third of the one another commands deal with unity of the church. Things like be at peace with one another. Don't grumble among one another. Be of the same mind with one another. Accept one another. Wait for one another. How many know we could just stop right there and we'd be good, right? Another one third of them instruct Christians to love one another. Through love, serve one another. Tolerate one another. Greet one another with a kiss. We'll go to the next one. Be devoted to one another in love. And then humility. 15% stress an attitude of humility among believers. Give preference to one another in honor. Regard one another as more important than yourself. Serve one another. Wash one another's feet. Don't be haughty. Be of the same mind. Be subject to one another. Clothe yourselves in humility toward one another. I love what Andy Stanley said. He said the primary activity of the church was one anothering one another. This is what I want us to go in 2019. In 2019, listen, don't say yes to the task. Say yes to the relationship that's required to accomplish the task together. Listen, when you say yes to community, when you say yes to, listen, you're not saying, let's get the job done. Yes, you're going to get the job done. But listen, the most important thing is the people that you're doing it with. And so many times, listen, we're checking boxes. Listen, we check out on the people that matter the most. We're checking boxes and marriages are going to hell in a handbasket. We're checking boxes and we don't even know how the person is doing or what they're going through in life. And God wants to change that. He wants us to get better at one anothering. Amen. We have to fight for community and allow our ministry commitments to flow from a healthy place of community. And we can't let ourselves get so overly committed to checking boxes, we minimize our commitment to connecting ourselves to others in community. Since I've arrived, I've used that language. You might have noticed. I know it's been frustrating for others, but I've used the word community in exchange for ministry. Because my entire ministry life, I've seen ministry put a ministry performance be ahead of ministering to the people my entire life. And what I want to see flow from this church, listen, can only happen through connected relationships. It can only happen when we're committed to health, healthy relationships with one another. And we see that. So part of the reason is I call them communities because it's intentional. How many know sometimes you've got to call things that are not as though they are? And so we have kids community, youth community, singles community, young adults community, women's community, men's community, worship community, creative community, influencers community, marriage community, prime life community, prayer and intercessors community, special needs community. Why? Because connection is so important. You see, when the disciples left everything to follow Jesus, they stepped into relationship with Jesus and one another before ministry was released. See, God always builds through relationship. Everyone say relationship. And when you say yes to connecting yourself to community, you're positioning yourself to release powerful ministry. Can I just say that again? When you say yes to connecting yourself to community, you are positioning yourself to release powerful ministry. If I ask you to do your to-do list, or give me your to-do list, just what you have to do between now and December 25th, how you know every single one of us could come up with that list? Oh, you could give me your list to do's. You got to wrap this, go buy that, do this, fix that, be there, be right, right? We all have a to-do list. And most of us, how many know, will kill ourselves doing that to-do list. You made it to Christmas, but you're half dead. Right? You made it to Christmas, but your peace is gone, right? There's no joy in your world, right? But if I asked you for your friends list, what could you give me? If I asked you for the friends that you were going to be with between now and Christmas, how long would that list be? Which one would be longer? You see, a to-do list will suck the life out of you. A friends list will release life to you and I as we accomplish the task to do. How many know there's people sitting right next to you that can help you do it? That can help you do your list. Hello? Someone got it right there. Emily got it. Thanks, Emily. There's people that are right. In fact, oh, this is perfect. After service, I need your help setting up this place for the women's gala. That was totally unplanned right there. But listen, I could do it by myself. And you guys were like, look at Pastor Dean. He's working. Look at that boy. Woo! Or listen, and that would take me to the time of the event came, right? Or we could get it done in 15 minutes and feel good about it. Here's another prophetic word. I feel like the Lord is saying to some of us in here today, will you just be my friend? Will you just stop trying to impress me with all you're doing? Because I made you a human being, not a human doing. Will you just be my friend? Want to just tell you a couple of things. So I just cast vision for the new year. I mentioned Connecting Points. We're going to be launching the new version of Connecting Points in the new year. And January 6th, we're going to be having a meeting. I'm believing God. I put it in here. I'm believing God for 20 Connecting Point leaders. What's a Connecting Point? It's gathering a group of people around a purpose, a passion, or a passion to point others to become more like Christ. So it doesn't have to be a Bible study. It doesn't have to be a topical study, though we're going to have those. It could be hiking. It could be biking. It could be anything, listen, that you're passionate about or that you feel like God has called you to, and you just want to gather around some brothers, some sisters, some couples around that thing that's burning inside of you so that together you could become more like Christ. We're going to have that meeting January 6th following the second service. And all my community leaders are invited to that, and all potential Connecting Point leaders are invited to that as well. So whether you've led or you haven't led, come out on January 6th to be a part of that. I'm going to skip to my last point, so You all aren't coming to me after service and asking me to fill in the blanks for you. Here it is. Number three, our commitment to ministry must flow and flourish from God's call to communion and community. What's that mean? Psalm 133, 1-3. How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down the head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Everybody say flowing. You see, people will ask me all the time, listen, Pastor Dean, what do you want me to do? Tell me what to do. And I like just Paul, I just say this, listen, follow me. Just follow me. Paul said that. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Why? Because following me far outweighs what you can do for me. Your ministry flow, listen, will always come out of the follow. Listen, what you're seeing here in my life, listen, it's come out of 20, over 25 years of following someone in ministry, submitting my life to them in ministry. What you're seeing right now is, listen, it's the flow from the follow of a lot of years. Some of us have difficulty with submitting to the follow required in ministry. So what happens is we end up falling out of ministry. And I just want to say to you, listen, the greatest requirement in ministry is serving people, listen, out of the follow and out of your flow. The last one in your notes there, a healthy flow of ministry will always bring God's blessing. And I wrap it up with this question. Will you dare to reimagine ministry in such a way of 2019, listen, that it flows from the follow, and it's at that place where God says, I command the blessing in that place. Flowing, flowing, flowing. Why? Because my people are following, following, following what I want to do in that community. Not what we can do, but what we can experience together that will lead us to a flow of anointed ministry. How many know God cannot help but command the blessing in that place? Will you stand with me today as we close? Will you lift your hands up to him? Actually, don't lift your hands up to him, because I just want to go back to this. Some of you in this place, you just sense God calling you to more in 2019. And I just want to say this. Come on, your flow is in the follow. And if that's you, you just say, God, I want to hear you calling. Will you just lift your hand? I want to pray for you today. You just need direction. You need to hear his voice. You need confirmation. You need to know which way to go, left or right. But you say, God, I need to hear where you're calling me. God, I need to know where you're placing me. God, I need to know. Lord, I pray you speak. You see the hands. God, you didn't ask us to be confused about our calling. I pray for clarity in the mighty name of Jesus, that 2019, God, there'd be a clear forecast over people's future. God, that you'd clear the way. God, that you'd build up a highway. That you'd build up systems and processes and assessments for people, God, to get clarity in their calling. And God, out of that calling, God, I pray a miraculous flow of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would see supernatural ministry happen, God, Lord, in this church and in this community like never before. Why? Because people have said yes to the call.